This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's a Take Two trade edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here, the voice coming through your earphones with a little bit of white noise in the background. It is at Who Trust Superman. That's HUTRAN Superman. You can also follow the podcast account at Jazz High Notes number two, at Jazz High Notes number two on the X Twitter. And not in studio today. He is in his own man cave studio. Wearing his jazz beanie on the Zoom call. What is up, Beanballs? Alma Bean 23, what's up, man?
Doing good. I also loved that. That was what my phone auto-corrected to. Like, never have used that term before, ever in my life. And I was like, oh, Bean Alma. And it was like, oh, Beanballs.
Beanballs. Like, Beanballs is the... I didn't realize that it was not Beanballs. I just copied and pasted it. I saw Beanballs, and I was like, oh, what a fun screen name. I'm gonna have to share with HR.
Yeah, I was gonna say the only like fun nickname that I have is Mr. Beanie Baby. That's a fun
Beanie
one.
Beanie Baby. You know, speaking of Beanie Babies, you can make a lot of money selling Beanie Babies. You can make a lot of money selling Stanley Cups, and you can also make a lot of money. Betting online. With Bet Online, it's playoff time and the usual suspects are heading to Vegas for the championship. And our partner, Bet Online, is your number one source for football odds, stats, trends, and lines. With everything from point spreads to hundreds of bets on everything from the coin toss to the color of the Gatorade. I do love betting on Super Bowl. Or the big game. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Bet Online is the number one source for your championship wagering. Head to Bet Online and join today to get in on all the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you to Believe Network. I do want to ask you, Alma. Do you do any sports wagering on the side?
I don't. Just because it wasn't legal in Florida, and for the most part, it's not really legal here. Like, you can do player bets but not like game right, bets, which I think is weird.
Yes.
I mean, I'll do like little bets with my buddies, like $5-$10 here and there. I will say my favorite bet that I always hear every single year for the Super Bowl though is the over under for the national anthem.
Yep,
that's my favorite one. Do we know who's singing the national anthem this year yet?
I'm sure we can look it up. I was gonna say, about 10 years ago. Like, I don't do a lot of sports betting, and it was even harder. Like 10 years, like you would have to do these like offshore sites and everything. But yeah, that was like when I started doing Super Bowl betting, because like it's only one game, right? And you know, there's the over under, there's the over under for scores, you know, who wins and everything. But the Super Bowl betting, yeah, like you talked about, there's a lot of like fun prop bets. You know, like, as you said, national anthem. Usually there's like a, you know, hey, there's going to be celebrities in there. How many times do we see so-and-so? And this year's, you know, obviously.
How many times are you going to see Taylor Swift? Yeah.
So like over under like 6.5 times on screen, Taylor Swift. I don't know. I bet I could look that line up, actually. Color of the Gatorade that gets dumped on the coaches at the end. And we adopted that to like when I used to, you know, obviously I work in the media now. I haven't gone to a Super Bowl party, but I went to a Super Bowl party where we threw all the prop bets up on like, you know, a big poster boards on the wall. and everybody would just go up, you know, throw a dollar in the jar for every time they made a bet, and they would, you know, color Gatorade blue, right? You know, you would write it on there, and every time, you know, who scored the first touchdown, yada, 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 first commercial, you know, those were all fun little prop bets. So, you know, one day maybe I won't work in media and I'll be able to have another Super Bowl party. But yes, the over under national anthem bet was something I've been doing for like 10 years. And so I feel like I was an early adopter of that. And now
I remember last year it was over by like a decent amount. I think
over under, if you get early, I think over hits way more than under does.
So when I went ahead and looked up who's singing the national anthem this year, it's Reba McEntire.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny though, is that it doesn't mention the over under. I simply just asked who is singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, the queen of country is also the queen of speedy national anthem singing.
Mm.
Reba McEntire was chosen to sing the Star Spangled Banner at Super Bowl 58 on Sunday. And based on her past business-like renditions, the under is definitely in play. In fact, it might be the only play. And that's coming from the Chicago Tribune.
1:30. It looks like this article was updated today, so... But you know, it doesn't mean anything. But 1:30.5. So
now I just need to figure out the under average.
The under is favored. I think there's, you know, like I've done that study before too, or like I've you know, watched other people like Kelly Clarkson was doing it one time, and I took her average of national anthems. I think she went over. So. I'm still betting the over. That's just who I am. I'm an over bettor on the national anthem. So,
I don't know. I'm personally, I don't listen to country, so I don't really know much about Reba McEntire. I just know about her sitcom that she used to have. That's about it.
Yes. The odds are 12-1 that the biggest pop star there will be shown holding and eating a hot dog. So 12-1 odds. If you see her with a hot dog.
A hot dog of all things. Yes.
So I wouldn't hate that one.
You think Allegiant Stadium is selling hot dogs at the Super Bowl?
There's let's see. This article says that there are 89 Swift-related 89 Swift bets. My God. Because it's playing homage to 1989. Okay, that makes sense. A 13 World War II, but okay. Let's see. This is, Bet Online. You can do Bet Online. 3-1 that former President Donald Trump will mention the singer on Truth Social on Super Bowl Sunday. Bet US gives us 10-1 odds that Swift endorses Biden after the game. Okay, well, these are political.
Are we getting into politics? I want to watch football.
I'm just reading these ones in order that I'm just going through this article, so... if you can make some player bets, Super Bowl's a kind of a fun day, because a lot of times, the Super Bowl's one of the biggest shows in the nation, in the world, and a lot of people aren't like huge football fans, so these are ways to get everybody kind of into it, so.
See, I'm just looking forward to what movie trailers we're going to be seeing. That's what I'm excited about. I want to see some Deadpool 3, Deadpool 3, maybe some Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
So,
some Dune 2. I want to see if there's a trailer for Wicked.
Wicked. So,
I want to see Ariana.
All right. So, Super Bowl's coming up this Sunday. But what's coming up this Thursday? The NBA trade deadline is, looming upon us. We are recording Monday night, 11:30 p.m., a little bit different than our usual schedule, but we're, 3-ish days away from the trade deadline. More rumors have been sprouting. This is actually our take 2 of the podcast. We did one last Wednesday. I don't know what happened. It just didn't save to the memory card. Very weird. I hit record because the timer was going on my pod recorder, so I don't know what happened to it. So anyway, it gives us a chance to think about the questions that we asked. We talked about. Come with new questions and talk about this. Jared wasn't here, but I will try to remember what he said on the last podcast and fill in the blanks here. So the Jazz are probably sellers at the deadline. Do you agree, Alma?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, I mean, the Jazz just came off a big win against the Bucks at home. It showcased a lot of the talent the Jazz have. I mean, we're a couple days away. The Jazz are just right below 500, still in that you know, in the play-in spot, a couple games ahead of the Warriors, a game ahead of the Rockets, as of last night, I should say, Sunday night. So, but still a lot of pieces, stuff we talked about, and we're going to talk about players, and we're going to come up with situations where I'm basically gonna oversell and underbuy some players. So like basically if I are undersell and overbuy, maybe that's the the better way I should say it, because you know, as I said on last podcast, I'm really testing the tolerance of us as the podcasters and our feelings toward trades, because also last year at the trade deadline, the Jazz essentially traded away Mike Conley, Jared Vanderbilt, and Malik Beasley, and got the 2027 top four protected pick from the Lakers. I'm not missing anything else from that, I don't think so. Alma, you know, we're here about a year later. How do you feel about that trade in retrospect?
I mean, it doesn't really do anything a year later. I mean, it still kind of sucks that Mike Conley was a part of that trade. I was a huge fan of him. Got to meet him a handful of times. Great person, wonderful family. So just seeing him go, I think I was more heartbroken about that. As far as what was brought in the process, like, okay, you got a top four protected first round pick in 2027 from the Lakers, which, with how they play, who knows if that's going to be a super valuable pick. I mean, top four, as long as they're not the worst team in the league, you'll be fine. But then you got Russell Westbrook, who was then bought out like 10 days later, I think. So, like, it doesn't really do much for the organization, especially like a year out. I think you'll kind of have more of an idea of how things go probably end of next year, beginning of 2026, just so then you know, can have an idea of where it's going to be placed. But I mean, it still kind of sucks that you have Mike Conley gone, because he was such a big part of veteran leadership for Utah, which, to be honest, now they barely even have any, if you want to go ahead and have Kelly Olynyk in there as veteran presence. But outside of that, like, who else do you have that's going to go ahead and kind of bring that locker room together the way that Mike Conley did? And then being the facilitator he was, that's a big thing that Utah doesn't have now. And they're slowly starting to get into that pace with Colin Sexton finally learning how to facilitate, Chris Dunn finally getting some minutes, and Jordan Clarkson now actually looking to make smart passes rather than bailout passes. But overall, I mean, can't really weigh too much on that specific trade right now.
All right, let me ask this in a different way then. Would you rather the Jazz have not made that trade? Would you rather the Jazz have kept those four players and not made the trade for the first round pick?
I probably would still do it. I personally would like another way to not have Mike Conley involved, but I know that he was a big piece in order to make sure that trade did happen, especially with D'Angelo Russell being involved in that trade and Russell Westbrook. It was just a lot of large contracts that needed to be moved, but it never seemed like Malik Beasley was going to stick around, even though he was a fun guy to go ahead and watch, especially every time he made a three right on the Jumbotron, you'd have wiggle alert. Nikhil Alexander Walker, it seemed like they would give him.
I believe that's a shimmy. Is it a wiggle or is it a shimmy?
they called it the wiggle alert. And okay.
All right.
but then with NAW, it seemed like they were constantly trying to find a way to get him in the rotation. But the moment he got hot, it was almost like there was somebody pulling strings that was like, hey, he shouldn't play anymore. And okay, just so never happened. And then Jared Vanderbilt, it seemed like he was trying to do what Kelly Olynyk currently does, but just not consistent enough, and to the point to where he was not conducive to what Utah was trying to do. He was constantly taking minutes from Walker Kessler. It seemed like he just wasn't working well with Lauri Markkanen. Then you had to go ahead and find time for Rudy Gay, which, why?
Okay, so
it just seemed like there was just a lot of pieces that didn't fit together. So I probably would still make that trade, okay. But if there's a way, I would like to take Conley out of it. But
no, I mean, that's
it had to happen.
No longer here or there. That's it's either like I'm gonna make that trade or might not make the trade is the question, right? And so for you, your tolerance for that trade, you know, it wasn't ideal, but you still rather have that first round pick. You know, it's a better asset for the Jazz than those four players combined. And last trade deadline, I think a lot of Jazz fans, if I had go back in a year, and you know, if it was the Monday before the trade deadline, I say this is what's going to happen for the Jazz. I think a lot of Jazz fans would have hated it.
Oh, absolutely! They would have been on the verge of rioting.
And maybe like you, I think maybe like you, after it happened, and here we are a year later. I think there are probably a lot of fans who would still say, okay, cool. Like, if that's what we're going to get for those four players, they're, you know, maybe not happy about it, but they're okay with it. Like, they're tolerant of it. So,
yeah, because, I mean, I was in the stands when the trade happened, when they were facing the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you literally just saw the players crossing the court saying their goodbyes to everyone. And it was just such a confusing moment because, like, you didn't know if it was a real report because, like, there were rumored reports that came out maybe, like, 10 minutes before Woj went ahead and confirmed it. But, like, it was just weird. But, again, I would much rather have the trade given all of the pieces that have moved.
Right, because, again, it's one of those things, like, yeah, you would still have Mike Conley on the team this year. You would have to have paid Na. You know, I mean, he got a two-year, $9 million contract from the Timberwolves. You know, Vanderbilt will still be here, and you know, Malik Beasley probably would have moved on as a free agent. So, the first round draft pick asset just seems to be more, more what you wanted anyway. So, I know a lot of Jazz fans wanted two picks, and they're very mad they didn't get more. They're very mad they gave up Nah. But you know, if your choice was the draft pick or those four players, I think a lot of Jazz fans are fine with the asset. So.
You already have like a majority of Minnesota's draft assets anyway, It's not like you could really get much more from them.
And I think the Lakers are putting in
2029 also.
Yeah, I think most fans wanted, since they were giving up Vanderbilt and Beasley and Conley, they thought they were going to get two draft picks from the Lakers. But
Have Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. They thought taking on Westbrook's contract plus giving up players constituted as at least two draft picks, and you know, maybe the right, maybe the wrong. I mean, look, I do think that not getting a second draft pick sucks, but that was the price that you get. And we do this all the time. Like, oh, the Jazz, you know, on this podcast, okay, you know, should we trade this for this? And you know, sometimes like, oh, well, we should get at least this. And I'm like, I get it, but sometimes that doesn't happen. So this is why I'm going to lowball some of these offers here. It's going to sound ridiculous, but that happens sometimes. And so that's why we're doing this. So first player on the docket, we're going to talk about Kelly Olynyk. What is your confidence rate that he's going to get traded by Thursday?
So it just kind of depends. Because I think that, if anything, he's going to get shipped off to an Eastern Conference team. Because that just seems to be more of the buzz, like
90%, 95%, like, or how confident you are that he's going to be off the Jazz by Thursday.
To be honest, I think it's lower than that. I think it's closer to like 70-75%.
Is there somebody on the Jazz that you think has a higher percentage? Do you have higher confidence will be traded by the trade deadline?
So given the report that was put out today with Tony Jones, I think that Jordan Clarkson is pretty much a done deal.
Let's do Jordan first. So Jordan, you're more like 90% Jordan, 90-95%. I mean, is that ball?
Honestly, probably more 95% given the report today.
Okay. And you know what? You know, I haven't really said it, but thank you. That'd be great. Please fire JC to another team. I'm done. I've been done for 3 years.
Oh yeah, no. I think that you are probably one of the most vocal people about having him. Maybe Logan a little bit more, but like
I don't think Logan minds Jordan Clarkson as much. Yeah,
like in person, people I know and have had conversations with in person. I think that you are probably the most vocal person about being done with Jordan Clarkson.
And this year is just really the nail in the coffin. It's just one of the things that like look, I enjoyed Jordan Clarkson. You know, I love the press conferences when he's high. You know, he seems like a fun personality. He's given some good years to the Jazz. I thank him for that service. But, you know, number one, personally, I would love not to have to see him on the team anymore. His style of play, just didn't like it. Number two, we talked about this, his $25 million salary is such a huge asset. And it's something that you don't have next year. So all good times aside, you know, this is one of those, like, I'm you know, if all the Jazz got was a second-round pick for Jordan Clarkson, I would be very happy with that. So now I'm going to ask you, Alma, again, you know, some these things happen. The Jazz, basically, if you're giving Jordan Clarkson for just a second-round pick, you're saying addition by subtraction. Are you happy with that deal?
I mean, it depends on location. Like, if it's early second round, I think I would be
okay with it. Okay, but so the only time that you really know if it's early or late second round is if it's 2024, which a draft that you don't like anyway.
Exactly.
So, would you rather be a 2025? So if it's 2025 second round pick,
further down the line.
Yeah.
If it's further down the line, then like I want a first. Okay. But I mean, based off of what New York has, because. Right. I decided, with all the rumors, I need to look up what they got. Mm-hmm. The Knicks have 4 first-round picks mm-hmm. this year. Granted, 3 of them are protected, so it just really depends on where they all lie because mm-hmm. they're coming from Dallas, Detroit, and Washington. And honestly, the Detroit and Washington ones are probably going to stay with Detroit and Washington because Detroit's top 18 protected, Washington's top 12 mm-hmm. protected. But even still, like Dallas, it's top 10. So I don't expect that one. I expect that one to go to New York.
Right.
So they'll have 2 first-round picks. I would like one of those. But after that, I mean, they have 2 2025 first-round picks, and then it's pretty much just one every year from there.
Right.
So really, if I can go ahead and get maybe a 2025 pick, so then there's a little more – control for 2025. Mm-hmm. Maybe if there's a expiring contract next year or going into next year, you can mm-hmm. go ahead and kind of use those picks to go ahead and entice some people, since that would give Utah 4 that were to happen.
Yes.
But I would want a future pick rather than like this upcoming
like
year.
Like the Detroit one, because like the Dallas one will probably be this 2024 draft. Dallas and Washington mm-hmm. has a chance to be in 25-26, but they could also not convey. So
exactly. So if I'm going to go ahead and give up Jordan Clarkson to the Knicks, I would want maybe like a 2025 first round pick or maybe even 2026, just because Utah only has 1 pick that year as well. Mm-hmm. So then you go ahead and have some leverage going each and every year rather than just the odd mm-hmm. years.
Okay. But the question now again, if the trade deadline comes and goes, and you had your choice between Jordan Clarkson staying on this team or a second round pick, which one do you choose?
I probably would keep him.
Okay.
If it's, because again, it just depends on where that second round pick is. If it's this year, then I would be a little more considerate, but just face value, I'd probably keep him around just because you've seen somewhat minimal upward trend of his game changing. Again, I like that minimal part.
I'm at the point of addition by subtraction, more minutes for Keontae, more minutes for Colin Sexton. Again, Jordan's game's always been up and down roller coaster. You know, mm-hmm. we always say you gotta let Jordan be Jordan. There's no way to let JC be JC. There's no way to, you know when the good games are going to be there and when the bad games are going to be there. And I just don't think for this Jazz team you need that. So. My tolerance level for Jordan Clarkson on this team, just give me anything, and I'm happy. So, if he's still on the team by after Thursday, maybe the podcast. I don't know. Maybe this podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to see you in the office and you're going to be so grumpy. Like, I don't even think I'm going to be able to mention it. Like,
I probably won't even put the Jazz in, you know, this podcast will become strictly WWE. So, okay.
You'll go ahead and remove it from the rundown play Thursday. You'll be like, yeah, no, it doesn't even matter.
Okay, so Jordan Clarkson. Is Kelly Clarkson your second highest confident player that's going to be moved at the deadline?
I mean, if Kelly Clarkson was on the team, I would have a lot of questions. But Kelly Olynyk.
Yes, Kelly Olynyk. And with a moment like this, at this time of year, Kelly Olynyk. I said, what would you say, 75%, right?
Yeah, 70-75, I think, is around the number that I can rumors, be confident with.
The rumors, again, are, you know, late first-round pick or mm-hmm. first-round pick in a different year. Again, so let's give the Jordan Clarkson treatment. Second-round pick for Kelly Olynyk, would you rather keep him or get rid of him?
I think for Olynyk, I think I would be a little more towards the compensation since it is an expiring contract for him. Mm-hmm. He is a little more on the older side. He is a bench player, so you have to go ahead and consider that. Granted, Clarkson is a bench player as well, but he has proven that he can be inserted in the starting unit on a consistent basis, where Olynyk is a little more streaky when he comes to the starting unit than Clarkson is, in my opinion. So I think I would be more in favor of getting a pick just because he is an expiring asset.
Okay, and that's like he's expiring. Those are all good points. So again, it's like from all the stuff that we've heard, it's likely the Jazz would get some sort of first round pick. But you know, if it's a second, 2 seconds, that might be okay for Kelly Olynyk for me. Again, there's the positive of opening up Taylor Hendricks minutes. I think there's a fairly good chance that if Kelly Olynyk was here in the offseason, he would not re-sign with the Jazz, or the Jazz would not sign him because, you know, just doesn't work. I think Olynyk's a pretty good player.
I'm a fan.
I don't think it's, you know, the ironic thing is that the trade for Bojan a couple years ago, people thought that, you know, it, in a roundabout way, it might be that first round pick that everybody thought that Bojan was going to go for. So there it is, right? So we'll see. There are some logistics, like a lot of teams that want Kelly Olynyk can't get Kelly Olynyk. The money just doesn't work. Roster spots. Some Celtics people were put out a trade today that, you know, they were going to give away the 2024 first round pick, which is going to be, you know, like dead last, to the Jazz, and like 4 contracts that the Jazz would have to like basically cut, but the Jazz would have to cut 4 players first to take those players in. So it's probably not going to be Boston. Boston just doesn't have the right room to make it happen. So. Who do you think is most likely to make a play for Kelly Olynyk?
So to be honest, I think in order for Olynyk to be moved, we have to have an answer for Clarkson, because Olynyk has been heavily rumored with the Knicks, but also, I've been hearing a lot about Miami being the team that wants to go ahead and bring in Olynyk and
bring him back,
looking
right?
at. Miami, I mean, shoot, for both of them, for Boston and Miami. They're just like, right. Oh, we had a good thing going.
Yep.
But with Miami, I think it's just interesting because they lack a lot of draft compensation, mm-hmm. Because they're not going to be able to trade a first round pick until 2029, and they don't have any second round picks. Until 2026, but that's coming in from the Lakers. But outside of that, they don't have it.
Yeah. So.
So, it's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And so like those are the two players I think are most likely to be moved, from the mm-hmm. Jazz. And I guess THT, but I think everybody's. I think if they
got everybody any... expects him to be moved, but nobody has a clue where right. or for what, and because it's just been so skewed right. on what his value is. Granted, with his age and how long he's been in the NBA, what teams he's been on, I think that does add a decent amount of value to him, whether he's on the court or not.
Look, if they got if they got one, two, if they got any draft compensation for THT, call it a win. You know, just
be honest, like
expiring contract,
2 second round picks.
Yeah,
2 second round picks.
Expiring contract for a guy that's not getting playing time right now. Yeah. Would you want to keep THT if Jordan Clarkson got traded?
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of how he plays. So
neither am I. But I think.
But he'd be great for a team that needs
a backup point guard,
a scorer off the bench. Yes. I think that he'd be great for really any team.
Because if the Jazz traded both Jordan Clarkson and THT and didn't bring another guard back, you know, then all of a sudden your guard rotation is done. Keontae George and Colin Sexton. So. And let's bring up some names. So Colin Sexton's name has been popping up a lot more in the last few days. And last time Logan was on, he asked, and I thought it was, you know, we've been talking about Colin Sexton for about a month now, you know, since December. Like, you know, you brought up his numbers, to me in the office one day about his assist rate and 3-point percentage just has been up since December. You know, Colin Sexton had a 13 assist, you know, a career high assist game, a couple weeks ago, against the Hornets. I liked how his game has evolved in just the short season. But it seems to be a lot of people who are very open. I feel like I'm in the minority thinking that he's not going to get traded. I feel like a lot of people are very okay with him being traded. So, you know, obviously the Jazz are going to sell high. In our last lost episode that we did last week, that didn't get recorded, you and Jared, I said hey, 2 first-round picks, and you guys were like, "Oh yeah, that would be plenty for Colin Sexton." I was a little shocked by that. So is that still your tone? So like, if you got 2 first-round picks, then you would be happy. Is that still correct?
Yeah, okay. For the most part, I think that.
Why is that?
Well, because again. You're still kind of seeing little things that, granted, no player is going to come in perfect, but when you're watching him play, he's still very sporadic. His energy is usually out of control, which for some people that can go ahead and be just the young bull mentality, and that's why people love him so much. But a lot of the times that's what's going to cause his turnovers. It's getting him unnecessary fouls. And shoot, even for the Milwaukee game, that's what went ahead and got him a technical because he was really feeling himself, decided to go ahead and stare down Giannis and Malik Beasley coming cross court. Like, it's something that you would have to go ahead and take on. He has definitely exceeded expectations since he's gotten here. And then occasionally when he does get into that high energy state, he's taking heavy contact, and you'll notice that he'll go ahead and wince quite often when he does take those high contact layups and dunks and things of that nature. And given his injury history, especially with his hamstrings, I don't know if that's something that I would want to encourage too often, especially if I'm going to be putting in as much money as Utah is now, because I believe his contract's like $17-18 million a year.
Yeah.
I think it like goes up like $2 million every year or something in that ballpark.
I mean,
so it probably goes I don't know if that's probably
goes up like according to like the salary cap, so not very like a percentage of the salary cap, right? So
yeah, like 1%, I think it's, right? Yeah, it's some sort of percentage, but like to make it easier, it's like in the
right.
$1.5-2 million ball.
But like Colin Sexton is still like only like 15 or 17% of the salary gap, I guess is where I'm getting at. I guess I'm just surprised because I thought, you know, beginning of the year I thought maybe 2 first-round picks would be enough, but like I think he's played well enough, and I think he can be a pretty good third piece to a championship team. You know, you put him on the Lakers, would be great. Put him on gosh, who else is he rumored to? There's a lot of teams that are in the playoff hunt. If you put Colin Sexton there with when you have two other, you know, ones, I mean, that'd be a great team, I think.
I also saw that the Knicks are a last minute target destination.
So instead of Jordan Clarkson, they'd be getting Colin Sexton.
Could you imagine? You would be furious.
Maybe I'm the wrong here. Well, it depends on what the compensation is. I think my compensation, you know, I don't know where your thoughts about Lowry market, like, you know, we talked about it. I've moved Lowry into the I guess, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard tier, which is below that first tier, you know, obviously, the Giannis Jokic tier. But it's slightly higher than the Sabonis Julius Randle tier, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But Lowry, you know, Lowry, I don't think can do what, you know, he needs the Paul George. He needs the Kawhi. He needs that second, 1B. I don't think I think Colin Sexton's in the Jamal Murray tier, I guess. I think he, okay. Yeah, like I don't.
A solid number two.
Yeah, like, well, yeah. A solid number two if you have a, you know, a Jokic, I guess. And I don't know if Lowry's that, but I mean, Lowry plus something plus Colin Sexton, I think would be interesting. You know, 2 first round picks, I guess that's pretty good. I think if push came to shove, I guess I'd be happy with that.
I think you can convince some teams to go ahead and throw in a third first round, like a young player or something.
A third I would feel better. A second, I don't know. I think I would feel a little icky about it, but yeah. Like, I'm pushing
because especially with how he's played over the last month, and that has been consistent. I think he's really only had like one bad game since the new calendar year. He's been able to go ahead and show that he's back, he's healthy, he has the same tenacity, but you can probably go ahead and convince a team to go ahead and throw in that first round pick because you can go ahead and show that.
I mean, this is about tolerance. Great. This is about my tolerance. Like I don't think I don't think I'd be happy with just 2 first round picks. You know, you get a third in there, then my tolerance, you know, obviously eases up. But, you know, at 2, which is what you and Jared were okay with, and probably Logan. You know, I hate speaking for Logan because he wasn't on the podcast last time, but he did kind of bring it up in the group chat. I want to make sure if we're selling Colin Sexton, do you think this is Colin Sexton's ceiling, or do you think he can, does he have another level?
I personally think it's his ceiling.
Okay. Being completely honest. And this is probably why you're okay with, like, I think he can show that he can be this consistent. Because we've seen the scoring in 2 different teams. We saw a little bit last year. Like, we know he can kind of do this and score. And it's more that the other stuff that he's doing, like his assisting and like just seeing the court, his vision. It's all that stuff that I've noticed this year. I'm like, okay, this is, you know, beginning of the year, I was like, wow, this is really rough. You know, he's just driving to the basket. Doesn't always have a plan, but now I feel like he's becoming a really good combo guard in the, you know, maybe not a point guard, but he's a very decent shooting guard. You know, he's a little on the short side. So there's limitations there. But yeah, I think he could be Jamal Murray. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Jamal Murray, but I think he could be in that tier. And if you had 2 guys, if you had 2 Larry Markkanens, I'd be very okay having Colin Sexton as that third banana. But
my thing is, like, I don't want it to be a ceiling. I just, based off of the amount of basketball I've watched, I just personally think
that's probably
where we're at.
That's probably where our tolerance is. That, like, I think he can be that consistent and a little bit better. Like, I wouldn't take 2 first round picks for Jamal Murray, so that's probably why I won't do it for Colin Sexton. The third one, you can convince me, and you know, that's probably where, like, I feel like you sell high on Colin Sexton right now, and 2 just doesn't seem high enough for me. So, so that's where I'm at with Colin Sexton. Let's talk about the other guard that doesn't seem to be getting talked about enough, I think, now. The name that people have not been talking about, a lot of people have been talking about, at least, and I think maybe we should be talking about a little more, is Chris Dunn. And that sounds kind of nuts because Chris Dunn, since he's been in the starting lineup, has played really well. You know, you're nodding, so you agree. but Chris Dunn's been playing really well. But the fact of the matter is that, number 1, I do not believe the Jazz have the bird rights for Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn signed a non-guaranteed contract, so this is Chris Dunn's last year on the team. If the Jazz were to retain him, the Jazz are going to have to pay him. I think you and I were talking, right? Like, how much do you think Chris Dunn's value is going to be in the offseason?
Like, contract-wise, I think he's going to be about the mid-level exception, especially with what he's been able to prove with Utah. Mm-hmm. So, what, $7-8 million somewhere around there?
Yeah, so. Yeah, I think so. I think you're probably that's where I have it. So, so that's the thing is that like if you want to if you're a Jazz fan, you want to keep Chris Dunn. You're gonna have to offer him a good contract. Like everybody loves him now because you know he's on a he's kind of on a prove it deal, and he has. He's expiring. You would have to up his contract about 4 times. Is that in line with what the future of the Jazz is? You know, is Chris Dunn somebody that you want to have here, you know, the next 3 or 4 years for a Jazz team that may or may not be ready to compete? Chris Dunn can help a lot of, you know, I'm sure the Milwaukee Bucks should be knocking on the door right now of the Jazz because Chris Dunn could help a lot of problems in that backcourt. For the Bucks defensively, right? Like, go ahead.
So, like, Milwaukee needs that kind of guard because mm-hmm. I mean, with the guard play that they have right now, where's the defense? Very lacking,
right?
Granted, you can get some, but not going to be there every night. But also, what is Milwaukee going to offer? They have 2 picks, like mm-hmm. not 2 first-round picks. They have 2 picks. Mm-hmm. From now until 2030, mm-hmm. 2 picks. They have a second-round pick for this upcoming draft mm-hmm. from Portland with 0 protections.
Right.
And then they have their own second-round pick in 2027. Mm-hmm. So do you think that you would want just that for Chris Dunn? Granted, contract-wise, it fits. Probably be fine with it. Mm-hmm. But if that's an asset that Milwaukee needs, you're going to be asking for a little bit in return. Like, if I'm doing you a favor, what are you doing for us?
Right.
A second-round pick, a guy that we're probably never going to have on our roster.
But this is sort of the
going to get turned over.
This is sort of the same. You know, you made the comparison to Kelly Olynyk, expiring contract, older player. You know, still very useful, and you were okay with just a second-round pick for Kelly Olynyk. So what changes with Chris Dunn, and why are you not okay with that instead?
Chris Dunn isn't in his 30s.
He's 29, though.
Is he 29?
Let me look it up. He's been in the league for a minute.
If he is, then maybe I am a little.
Chris Dunn was born in 1994, so 29 years old. He turned 29 this year. So.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I am a little more lenient.
Because that's the thing. Is like,
in my mind, I was thinking he was a little bit younger. Right. And I was like, okay, you can go ahead and give him that mid-level exception and then be fine.
And maybe
try and get a little bit more.
This is why we're having the conversation on the podcast. Because I think there's a lot of people who think, oh, because he was out of the league for a couple years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think,
out of sight, out of mind.
Right. And so people are like, oh, they probably think he's 25, 26, 27. He's going to be 30 next year. He's the guard. He has severe offensive limitations. Mm-hmm. But he's a hell of a defensive point guard, and that's very useful.
Yep. Love it.
And he's an expiring contract. But that's the thing. He's an expiring contract. You know, we gave this is sort of the same logic that we use with Kelly Olynyk. Like, he's probably not going to, even if he does resign for the Jazz, like, you're going to have to pay him more. And that should factor into it. Like, look, is $8 million going to be a lot for the Jazz on the payroll next year? Probably not. In the next few years, probably not.
But even Tony Jones went ahead and said that Utah's expectation going into this offseason is that financial flexibility. Mm-hmm. So they want to go ahead and pretty much exercise every cheap contract they can get. And paying Chris Dunn that mid-level exception is probably going to be one of their last things that they do, if that's an option.
Yes. And so, again, this is sort of a, can you get something for Chris Dunn at all? Like shouldn't Chris Dunn be... Chris Dunn, look, I get it. He's played really well. If the Jazz trade Chris Dunn, I believe their play-in chances go way down. But if you're looking to get something, like, you know, this is also, you know, what's more important, trying to get into the play-in this year or trying to get extra assets to help the team in the future to get other trades. You know, you probably don't know, but, you know, Logan and Jared have heard me talk. I don't care that much about second round picks, but if it comes to second round picks or nothing at all, I'd rather have the second round picks. Those can be useful.
I'm in that same boat too.
So, So yeah, Chris Dunn, I think, needs to be talked about a little more coming up. And a lot of Jazz fans would probably hate that because it wouldn't. I agree. I do think it would make the Jazz a worse team this year. But
and I think by a large margin, right, too. Like, very undervalued. Fans are finally starting to see mm-hmm. what some other fans definitely saw when he was brought onto this team last right. year. Mm-hmm. But, like,
a guard that
the fact that he's not getting as many minutes as he should, in my opinion, like, right. it's
the Jordan Clarkson ridiculous. Effect. There's no reason Jordan Clarkson should be playing the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, especially when he comes in so early in the fourth quarter. But Chris Dunn, you know, so Chris Dunn, again, Chris Dunn, you know, there's a chance. And the number of fans who are just super angry that Chris Dunn is in anybody's trade block, I think it's a little unfounded. Like, again, if you're willing to trade Kelly Olynyk, Chris Dunn should be in that same boat. So, okay, so Chris Dunn, we talked about Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, Kelly Olynyk, another name that's kind of popping up, Simone Fontecchio. Sort of the same boat. Jazz only have him on 2 year. They have, I believe the Jazz will have early bird rights for Simone. So that gives them, again, but if you want to bring Simone back next year, it's probably going to cost you more than the $2.5 million that Simone is making this year.
I don't think by much. I think where he is at, I don't think he's commanding a lot in the free agency market. But I think you would still have to like give him some sort of a
It's probably like not
four mil.
Yeah, four maybe. To 5 mil. Then I think that's fair. The biannual exception. Mm-hmm. You know, or 4 or 5 million, just right above the biannual. But that's still, again, if the, you know, like you just talked about, financial flexibility, it's a roster spot. I can see it. No, but look, this one's not as, like, Chris Dunn's a 50-50 to come back next year. I think Kelly Olynyk would be less than that. Simone Fontecchio, I think it would be a likely candidate to come back, you know, be a backup small forward on the team.
I think there's a very high chance for that one.
Okay. And so, you know, so in that case, what is your tolerance? Like, what's an offer that you would hear and you're like, oh, that's not very much, but I'm okay with it?
I don't think you can trade Fontecchio on his own. I don't think he has that type of command.
Okay,
if you're going to go ahead and trade him mm-hmm. at all, you would have to go ahead and use him to go ahead and pull a young player, like, let's say Jordan Clarkson to the Knicks, mm-hmm. and the Knicks want a little bit more. You would want to go ahead and throw Fontecchio into that mix, and then
okay.
maybe need to add a second round pick on top of it, or a late first rounder, or even a first rounder with some sort of protection on it. Hmm. I think that would be sufficient. I mean,
like if somebody was added on to them and you got a first round pick, man, I'd be ecstatic. Like a first round pick.
Oh, for, yeah, absolutely.
But
because he's shown that he's grown defensively. Last season, a lot of people were trying to figure out why he's shooting so much. This season, he's shooting a lot better. He's 41% from three.
So
that's a big part that you can go ahead and add to a team like New York. I think that you
just need some,
to work that.
Going through what you just said there, you said him, you know, basically, if you added him to Jordan Clarkson deal and New York added a second round pick, you'd be okay with that. So a second round pick for somebody from Fontecchio, you'd probably be okay with. Is what I'm getting at. So whatever on top of the Jordan Clarkson and a little bit extra. So, okay.
Preferably a protected first round. Yes. That I think I'd be more comfortable, but like second round, I can't be mad. Yeah.
I mean, this
especially is especially knowing he's an older
28
guy years old. A rookie contract. Right. So
I don't even know if I guess technically it is a rookie because it was, you know, when I think rookie contract, I mean, I think of drafted rookie contract, right? Like he was a free agent.
But
so,
free agent deal. It was his rookie season, 2 years.
I guess for me, rookie contract is there's more control over it, I guess. And so, like,
yeah, because typically rookie deals have those team options.
Yeah, team options, extensions. So that's I guess.
But I mean, it's his rookie deal.
Yeah, in my head, that's why I delineate both between like the 2 year and, you know, 5 million versus a rookie deal. But that's a too nerdy for this podcast.
But I know that him and his family have definitely, like, solidified things here. So I think that that will play a big part on him wanting to return.
One name that I've been kind of like, I don't think they get traded. I think it's really hard. But John Collins has been kind of coming up in a couple trade rumors.
I don't think it happens.
I don't think it happens either.
I don't see it.
Like,
some fans can be mad about it, but
it's look, I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, again, his name's in rumors. I feel like, you know, journalistically, you know, we've talked about everybody else, but it's been in rumors. Let's talk about John Collins. You know, $25 million contract for at least a couple more years. You know, he's a starting center. He's shown flashes of what he did in Atlanta. You know, he's still a great role man. You know, catches some lobs. He posterized, in December, he had that huge poster alley-oop. You know, he hasn't shown in the last couple games, but he can hit a,
and
you know,
like his stats are quiet. Like he performs really well, in my opinion, especially based off of what you gave up for him. Like,
yes. Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine. So, but like, the fact that there are fans that are so irate to see him on the court, that I'm not quite as understanding, because he's definitely better than some options that some other teams have.
So with his contract, $25 million, you know, there are teams that are out there asking about him, right? How many second round picks would you be happy with? Like, you'd have to take back, you know, let's say you get a second round pick, you get one. Or let's say you at least get two, one for taking back another big contract and one for giving up Collins. So at least two. Would three be enough? Would four be, like, is this one of those five second round picks?
I would want minimum four.
Four second round picks. Okay, man, that's fair. Mm-hmm. I think fair. So three is three pushing it. Three, you're just like, oh, that was not.
Three, I wouldn't consider. Four is like my minimum.
Three, you'd be unhappy. Four, you would consider.
I would do 3 second round picks in a player with minimal contract, okay. Then I would be accepting. But if I'm just doing straight picks, I need
more. Yeah. So, expiring contract and 3 second round picks, you'd probably be okay with that.
Yes.
Okay, and that's fair. And like for basically, if we go back through the tree, it'd be Rudy Gay and a second round pick to get 3 second round picks and some financial flexibility. So, which is an asset in itself. Let's see. So we've gone through, well, you know what? We haven't talked about Lowry yet. Lowry, obviously, is always going to be in a rumor. There's always going to be some big market team that's going to try to pry him from the Jazz for nothing. How many first round picks would you be happy with? If Lowry was not, because there's a, look, if the Jazz are not going to compete in the next couple of years, having Lowry on your team seems like malpractice.
Fair.
So there's a chance that you can trade him again. Like, you know, Paul George was traded. Kawhi Leonard was traded. I think he could be that level of player. How many draft pick compensation, you know, and say maybe you get a Bones Highland. Like, I know you talked about like a Bones Highland. A Bones Highland type, you know, player, someone that's young, or maybe a rookie that's, a G.G. Jackson, a Cam Whitmore, someone that's young, you know, on the rookie deal, you know, a Killian Hayes is not a great example, but someone like that, Killian Hayes is a rookie deal. So, how many draft picks with a young player would you like?
With a young player, minimum 4 firsts.
Four. Okay. Four is good. So, yeah.
And I would probably want to talk in some swaps to see if you can go ahead and get those, just because of
Can you even get 4 picks? I think, is the max 3? Can you trade 4 years out? I don't think you can trade 4 years out. It would have to be...
So it depends on what team.
That's also true, right? Like the Thunder, right? Right. So
yeah, they would be able to go ahead and do it. It just depends on where the
team
stipend rule.
Yeah, the team would need to have other teams for Trump picks as well. So okay.
So I would try and talk some swaps, because then you would be able to open up the market a little bit more. But again, there has to be a young, promising player on a team-friendly deal for me to consider 4. as a minimum.
Okay, how would you take of all these? I mean, there's gonna be some other players that you need for salary. Cason Wallace, Poku, and four of the Thunder first round picks.
I like that, actually. Oh, yeah. I like Cason Wallace. He was, funny enough, when I did my draft analysis, going into the draft, he was actually one of the people I really liked for Utah. Poku, granted, he has injury concern. I think that he's someone that can go ahead and have a decent upside to him. Granted, he'd probably be more of a bench piece. And then knowing the draft picks that Oklahoma City has racked up over the years, you could probably get some really decent value out of those, whether you decide to go ahead and use those picks or if you decide to go ahead and ship them off elsewhere. Just knowing that they came from Oklahoma City and the teams that they went ahead and made their trades with, those are probably going to be some pretty decent high picks, in my opinion.
Yeah. Look, again, this is only if the Jazz, people are like very mad the Jazz aren't picking a lane. And Lowry next year, turning 28, I think, going to be commanding a huge extension, four years, upwards of $35 million a year. If you're planning on keeping Lowry, then yeah, you can sell for a little bit, but you eventually have to buy pieces. So let's talk about the other side of the coin, right? Like, look, I don't think the Jazz are going to trade Lowry. I don't think the Thunder would give up all those assets for Lowry, even though it would be a really good use of their assets, you would think. But the Jazz should also, like, look, if they think Lowry is going to be on the same level as SGA, the Jazz, the Jazz front office think they are like the Thunder. They have SGA, they have Lowry. They think that he can be an MVP candidate in the next couple of years. Maybe they think Keontae George. I don't know. I don't know about Keontae George. I think Jared is slowly getting into that. Keontae George might be the number two on the Jazz. I don't know how far you're along with that. I'm pretty far away from that.
I still need more. I still need to see more.
I mean, because who's the number two on the Thunder right now? Is it Chet? Is it Jalen Williams?
I think it's pretty close with Jalen and Chet. I'd probably give it to Jalen.
Okay.
Just because of experience, but I think it's a very thin line.
Yeah. I mean, where is Jalen Williams better than Julius Randle, Domantas Sabonis? He's thinking. Same tier?
I would take Jalen Williams over those two, but it's other factors for that reason. I think
his age,
he still has to work his way up to that tier.
I mean, he's only 20, age. Yeah, 21, 22. So
he's in his second year in the league. Right. So I mean,
yeah.
I would without a doubt take Jalen Williams first
before Randall,
but I would not put Jalen Williams in that same tier as
not
them
quite yet. Okay.
Because probably. I would love what Sabonis does currently over those two.
And you know what? Fair. I mean, that's fair.
I would take Jalen.
How about Williams. In 2 years? Do you think Jalen Williams surpasses what those two guys are doing right now?
If he continues what he's doing right now, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So basically, the Thunder have their one SGA. They have their two. He's not quite there yet, but they think that he's going to be there. And they have another guy, Chet Holmgren, who might be even surpass Jalen Williams in the next 2 or 3 years. So they might have, they did it through the draft and they loaded and they got a young player. So, the Jazz, if they, Lowry's 27 right now, I believe.
He'll be 27 by the end of the season or at the end of the season. He'll be 27.
So yeah. So he's, the Jazz, is Keontae George. Is he close to being like, can he get there next year? Do you think he can get to, you said you need to see more. So that's
I need to see more, but
I think
you that's can the solidify yourself as a two when you are struggling to be your top option with the bench unit.
So I think that's sort of the problem for the Jazz right now is that Keontae George and Taylor Hendricks, and sure, let's throw Bryson there, are so far away from giving the comp, because Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, you have a lot of confidence that they're going to get to that Domantas Sabonis, Julius Randle level.
Oh yeah, and
if you believe Lowry could get that SGA level, but there's you have to get somebody to that level of at least Sabonis and Randle. Maybe even better than, I think Paul George, Kawhi Leonard is a good comp. Like, those two guys are no longer in the, they were guys who were teetering. I think Kawhi Leonard was at the top, 7-8 players in the NBA for a while. I think Paul George teetered close to that Damian Lillard line. Like, Damian Lillard never could quite burst through that wall. I think Paul George was in that same area. But those two guys together, are good enough. The Jazz, if you don't think Keontae and Taylor Hendricks, you have to make a decision, because if you don't think those guys can get there, then you have to go, and you want to build around Lowry, you have to go make the move to get him. So we asked this on the last episode, like I said, okay, we said about 5 first round picks for Lowry's fair. Mikal Bridges is rumored to be out there. He could be had. It said the Nets gave up 5, said no to 5 first round picks, but let's just say the Jazz offered 5 first-round picks, and the first-round picks are better than what the Nets got in the other offer. Would you, I guess I bring up Mikal Bridges because you have to pick a name that is not Luka. You have to pick a name that's not Giannis. Mm-hmm. You have to pick a name that hasn't broken through yet, but you think can break through. And we talked about it. You and Jared were like, Mikal Bridges, no. Don't think, cause you don't think it's worth the risk to take Mikal Bridges. We talked about Trae Young. Is Trae Young... I think his name is a little high, but is Trae Young?
I would do that.
Trae Young for Trae Young. Yeah. Look,
no hesitation.
We're talking about a risk here. There's a risk. Trae Young, he's led that Hawks team to mediocrity for the last four or five years. He's always going to be the guy.
But also, look what he's been surrounded with.
John Collins. So, Quinn Snyder. That team is very interesting. A lot of bigs. They gave a lot of money to Capella, which was not smart in retrospect. They drafted Okongwu. They had John Collins there for a minute. They brought Deontay Murray in to try to pair with Trae Young. So, but I think Trae is a good name. Trae is a good name. LaMelo Ball is LaMelo Ball. 5 first round picks. Do you not? Yeah, the hard part is that the Jazz have to go out. These are named Deontay Murray, Trae Young, Mikal Bridges, LaMelo Ball. These are guys like right now don't seem like they're worth it. The Jazz have to. I think the Jazz, if you're going to try to pair Lowry with somebody in the next couple of years, you kind of have to take that risk. You're going to be blowing most of your assets on this guy, or you can save it. Because if you don't blow, you blow an asset on the guy that you hope to take the Lowry Markkanen jump, to pair with Lowry Markkanen, make your own Paul George Kawhi Leonard combo, and then you're kind of cooking with gasoline, because then you have two true 1A, 1Bs. Obviously they're not Giannis or anything yet, but, Jokic won with Jamal Murray, who I believe is, a tier below the Sabonis Randle tier. So, I think, if we, like I said, like we did math, right? If Jokic is an A and Murray's a C and Markkanen and whoever else is, B pluses, does that equal the same thing, right? Like the Embiid and Maxey, they're doing it with Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Can you pair, somebody with Lowry? You have to go get somebody that's just off the, outside the box, not the beaten, off the beaten path, I believe is the saying there. I don't know who it is, but I think that's the way the Jazz have to do it. But I think a lot of Jazz fans are so would you rather do what I just said there, try to take a chance on somebody, or just hold the assets and hope that somebody comes free, or use the draft picks? Of those options there, what sounds more appealing to you, Alma?
I mean, as a fan, I want Utah to win as much as they possibly can. So whatever they can do, great. But is that in the cards for the organization? Probably not. As far as what players are out there that I think I would go ahead and give that sort of compensation, I think Trae Young is really the only person that I'd be willing to take that type of risk on, just because everyone else that's has been mentioned either hasn't done enough to prove themselves, in my opinion, to go ahead and take that kind of offer, or they're too injury prone for me to take that type of risk in hopes that maybe they can go ahead and play 60 okay. games max in a season.
So if it's not Trae Young and there's nobody else that you want to, I mean, the Jazz, look, they can either keep all the assets they have, keep trying to draft them, but, you know, like they're going to miss out on the 2024 draft. Then they'll have a couple picks in the, they'll have three picks in 2025. I think it's unlikely that any of those picks will be a top four pick unless, you know, the Jazz suck again. I mean, maybe something drastic happens to Minnesota or Cleveland. But generally, you know, teams that don't have draft picks are not going to tank. You know, they're going to try hard throughout the whole year. You're hoping to get lucky with a high pick, or, you know, you're just hoping to get lucky that you find Jalen Williams, where you find Jalen Williams, you know, outside the top five. You know, this is what Danny Ainge kind of did in Boston. He held on to a whole bunch of assets, just kept trying to get like the Anthony Davises and just kept missing out. You kind of wait and hope that Luka Doncic comes available? Because I think right now, like today, I think there's a very small percentage chance that happens, that like Luka becomes available and the Jazz are able to make a competitive offer to get him to come to Utah, and that he would be happy to do that. So what are your thoughts? Like, you know, do you want to try to keep the assets and hope for the really big fish, or just try to use all the assets to draft more players?
I think that Utah would probably just be, it would be their best option to see if they can hit in the draft. Just because if you have so many first round picks, because what are they at, like 15, 16 right now, somewhere around there. Every year you're expecting or hoping for at least one to hit. And when you got three, four chances at it, the other picks don't seem as bad. I mean, you can even look at it for this year. Taylor Hendricks, Keontae George, Bryce Hensabaugh. You got your 9 pick and, what, 28th pick sitting in the G League. They're looking good down there. And then you have your 16th pick who is actually able to go ahead and have good contribution to your bench rotation. So, I mean, as far as the Jazz are aware, like, this should be seen as a success, because they hit on at least one, or feels like they hit on at least one. So I would continue to ride that train, just because right now with getting all of those more team-friendly contracts through the rookie deals, that allows you to go ahead and have more financial flexibility to where if that big fish does come available, you don't really have to change much. You're just adding one person, and you have all that financial flexibility to go ahead and get them there, and you'll still go ahead and have the control of your assets if you need to go ahead and move things around as well.
Yeah, but so
I think they should just ride it out.
Then I guess the unfortunate part is that it seems likely the Jazz are not going to have a pick in 2024, which is fine. Well, whatever, right?
That can be, I'm okay with
that. Ahmed does not like the draft this year.
Not one bit.
I mean, I think if you're the way that you said it, like if you're okay just trying to wait out draft picks, then I think in that situation you try to trade Lauri Markkanen, get some more draft assets. You know, your team will be worse if you can keep the pick for three more years. Because it's going to be a slow, you know, if you're trying to build through the draft, it's going to be a slow grind. Lauri Markkanen hurts that ability, I think. Because then your pick will more likely be in the early teens versus being in the, top four, where a lot, we see a lot more players hit. There's a chance that if you were bad the next 2, 3 years, at least you get to keep that pick from the Favors trade. You would have one extra asset, one extra bite at the apple. Yeah, and look, if that's the way the Jazz go, then that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You just have to, be more lenient to, take 2, 3 more bad years of not just, not being mediocre, but being below mediocre, being below average. Yeah, so I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, this is what the Thunder did. The Thunder had SGA. They were able to hold SGA off for a couple years, have, some pretty bad years in there, but use those picks, and they found, this big three, this core they have, mainly through the draft, plus keep their assets. That's not a good wrong way to go. I just think the Jazz need to commit a little harder to, making sure their own pick is good. So that's just my opinion, I guess. So, but yeah, so Alma, like we're 3 days away from the we got trade deadline bingo. We made some bingo cards, go out there. I'm gonna look through Alma's closet, so if anything that you guys want to wear, we can send that out to you. Alma, what do you got going on at the Hive over there?
So tomorrow, Jazz have their game against Oklahoma City. As far as I'm aware, they're looking like they're going to be coming practically full strength. So I think it's going to be another difficult one for Utah. Utah's going to be wearing their city jerseys tomorrow, so fans of purple will be super happy about it. And they're also going to go ahead and be celebrating their Lunar New Year. So I'll just kind of be talking about that a little bit. May or may not have time to record highlighter highlights. Just kind of depends on how things go tomorrow. Today was a day of just absolute relaxation. Didn't have any work of any kind, and I
Yeah.
haven't had that in
He's
months.
got two jobs now,
So
so that's good. Hey, good.
I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and give myself a day,
Work life
and
balance
then
is important, so
still trying to find it.
yeah, so Lunar New Year, yay me. Let go Lunar New Year. I'm really hoping that Lunar New Year catches on. I haven't heard Chinese New Year as often, which is good. So Lunar New Year is a much more accurate and much more inclusive term, everybody. So Lunar New Year, big one. Happy birthday to Anne. She's coming into town, so she'll never listen to this, so it doesn't matter.
Which Wednesday? Yes,
Yes,
yeah.
Wednesday. So folks, thank you for listening. Hopefully, next hopefully this podcast continues after Thursday, because there's a good chance, if something doesn't happen, that I just might destroy everything. So we'll see you guys next time.